Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to the Man City Show. It's Nigel Rothman back in the chair. Played one, 1-1 for the champions. Played one, scored two for Erling Haaland. City top of the league and Liverpool with ground to make up already. So much to discuss following a comfortable victory against the Hammers on a sunny Sunday, including Julian Alvarez showing Kurt Zouma how his cat might have felt. Those two debut goals from Haaland, league debuts for Alvarez and Calvin Phillips, of course, and much more. And I have three guests this week. One, who stood next to me for 90 minutes at the London Stadium on Sunday, one who never stands anywhere near me, and one who can only dream of standing anywhere near me, in no particular order. Welcome to Steve Cox. Hi, Steve.
Hi.
Welcome to Stuart Brodkin.
Hi there.
And welcome to Spencer Debson.
Hi, Spencer. Nigel. A pleasure.
Listen, before we talk City, some important football news has just broken today, as you'll all be aware. The BBC Radio 5 Live Sports Report are stopping broadcasting the classified football results. I'm going to start with you, Stu, because you will have been listening to these since 1834. And I just thought, kind of two extremes here. Either outrageous, how dare they? I've been listening to it every single week, getting back to the car, sitting there waiting for that famous music to come on. James Alexander Gordon will be turning in his grave. Or we already know what the scores are. We've been looking at our smartphones and we know the second a goal goes in. Where do you sit, Stu, on this one?
I'm very much old technology, but I don't listen to Radio 5 Live and football results. Get them on my phone, on the TV, wherever. But Radio 5 Live is a long way down my list of priorities. So I don't care.
You don't care? Steve, do you care much? Where are you? Are you outrageous from Tunbridge Wells, or are you absolutely delighted? And let's crack on and talk about City and Haaland.
I'm disappointed, really, because even though I don't need to have the results read to me, I wouldn't have heard some of the unusual, diverse Scottish football teams that there are in existence without having listened to that throughout my life. So it's not a necessity for me, but I'll be really disappointed not to have it. I used to like trying to guess the second score by the tone of the first one. That was one of my favourite little games. But I guess time moves on, I suppose.
Gone forever, Steve. Gone forever, that, you know, that wonderful lilt in the voice. Spencer, just finishes off on this before we talk City and Haaland.
Okay. Well, it's a pure nostalgia thing, isn't it? I mean, we all remember in the days gone by where, of course, all the games were, there was a full suite of games on a Saturday. So there was something to sort of talk about at 5 o'clock, wasn't there? And I would be there with my sort of shoot magazine and, you know, the sort of cards that you sort of reorganize the table. So it was definitely a thing, but it was a long, long time ago. And even though we'll miss East 5-5-4-4-4 and all of those sorts of funnies, its time is long gone. So it was
fair
great.
Enough.
Thank you.
Fair enough. Thank you very much, gents. Listen, Steve, kick us off with a game then, Steve, would you? And let's start with Haaland. Let's just start. Made the penalty, scored the penalty, was never any doubt he was going to miss that. And I think also as soon as that pass went through, we probably all realised there was no doubt in him scoring that second either. What a debut.
He's a beast, isn't he? I'd not really appreciated quite how rapid he is over those first few yards until you see that second goal and you see the pace that he actually has to get away from the defence. And he times his run perfectly. I mean, he's in the perfect place to receive the pass from De Bruyne. And then almost without breaking stride, he kind of opens his body up and sweeps the ball past the keeper perfectly into the corner. It's absolutely what we've been missing. It really is what we've been missing. If that had been Raheem, bless him, I think the ball would have been somewhere different other than that, because every time he had time to think about it, it would go somewhere else. And I think Haaland is a natural, instinctive striker who... You could see his frustration in not actually getting a hat-trick, because he could have had a hat-trick quite easily with that header that came just before he got substituted. And I think he's a perfectionist. He wants to do well. He wants to score as many goals as he possibly can. And actually, you know, he was in the right place at the right time. But for some better passing, he probably could have had 5 or 6 at the weekend, I think.
And there were situations, weren't there, Stuart, where you could see him looking to make those runs, and it wasn't until Gundogan made that run for the penalty that kind of one actually got to him in the right place. And then obviously, as Steve's already pointed out, for the second goal as well, the fantastic pass from De Bruyne for the second. But is it what we've been missing, as Steve suggests? Is he kind of given us kind of now the kind of the perfect 11?
I don't know about the perfect 11. That we'll have to wait and see about that. But he is a natural-born striker. He can sniff a goal from a long way out. He stays onside, which is something that Mr. Jesus never really took much care about. And he just, as you said earlier, when he got that into position for that second goal, you knew he was going to score. You had no doubt in your mind if it would have been somebody else, they may or not have scored, but... You thought and you knew in your heart that he was going to score. In the penalty, he won it, took it, scored it. I mean, what more do you want?
What impressed you particularly about him then, Spencer?
Oh, the way he sat on the floor after the penalty, from pen to zen. I mean, he really is the real deal, isn't he? I mean, the guys have said it in terms of the game. But the thing I really like about him is his... appropriate arrogance, you want to call it that. You know, he's 22 years old. He's clearly one of the very top strikers in the world. And he really does walk the talk. I mean, the pace was something that Steve mentioned. I mean, we know he's fast, he's 6'5", but for both of those goals, that was made the difference. I just like the way he holds himself, the way he, his post-match interview, which did make me chuckle. Because he said, obviously he's a bit short on the media training. He said, it's almost 30 minutes since I scored the last goal. We've just got to keep it going. And I thought, well, this is a bit of humour, isn't it? But I don't actually think it was. I really think it was just who he is. He is a winner. And I'm very sure he'll go on to be very, very successful for City.
Some people, Steve, have been talking about City playing in a different way with him. Of course, we've played with a striker for played without a striker for almost 2 years, and we've been playing this false nine. Him coming into the side means we are going to play differently, doesn't it? How do you see that playing out?
Well, I think last week people were saying, right, OK, we now need to adapt to Haaland. So that might take us a little bit of time. It took us all of about 7 days, really. And I think, yes, we may need to play some things slightly differently. Definitely the tactics that Pep used at the weekend were ones that he'd tried before, and not necessarily that successfully, but actually it seemed to work with the inverted fullbacks. I mean, to be fair, giving any City player other than Edison a position on the pitch is somewhat dumb, really. I don't know why they still persist with doing the sky lineup at the beginning, where they put everybody into a nice little pretty picture. But to be fair, they all go, apart from Edison, all over the park. I think there was always going to be a bit of adaptation, but it looks as though, you know, from those two goals, it looked like he'd been playing with us for 6 months, not for a week and a half. Fine player, and already it's annoyed Miguel Delaney. So actually, I really am quite pleased. One game in and we've already annoyed the press.
We might come back to him, or we may not, depending on time. Stuart, in terms, I'm interested to kind of explore this whole area of City having to play differently. We've played without a centre-forward for 2 years. Suddenly we've got probably the best centre-forward on the planet. We've got to play differently, haven't we? This is a different type of City, isn't it? Different tactics.
Well, I don't think we have to adapt too much. I think we play great football. We keep the ball. In the past, we've played as if we've had a striker. Where, you know, we've crossed the ball and there was no one there to put it in. Now we can cross the ball and there is someone up there to put it in. I don't think it's a great adaptation. I think it's an evolution of a very good side with a very good striker playing slightly differently. And the inverted fullbacks, you might not play that every week. You might You know, I think against Liverpool in the Community Shield, we needed a left back because Salah was just tormenting us down that right side. But, you know, against West Ham, it wasn't necessary to have anybody tight to the touchline, you know. I think leave it to Pep. I'm not going to second guess his tactics. He'll get it right. He's probably working on it as we speak.
No, so we will leave it to Pep, but we need to talk about it every week, otherwise there's no Man City show. So I think we'll leave it to Pep, but all right if we still talk about it, Stu, is that okay?
Absolutely, yeah. You can speculate all you like, yeah.
So let's do that then, Spencer. We were playing balls into the box, not just along the floor, I think, more, weren't we, as well? Because in the past, we would never have done that. I think last time we did that, a fella called Edin Dzeko was playing up there. But we haven't done it for a while. It's all been along the floor. But I noticed more balls going up into the air for him to try and head onto it.
Oh, there's no doubt about that. I mean, in the first sort of 30 minutes, I think there was sort of four or five coming over there. But most of them thought he was 6'8", not 6'5". And they were sort of overcooking it a little bit. But clearly that's going to be the tactic, and rightly so. I mean, he's a classic old-fashioned centre-forward. So, and there was a sort of mild concern, wasn't there, that, you know, we'd be a little bit more predictable this season because, you know, the fluidity of the false nine and the front three interchanging would probably go. But I think the reality is that we've got, you know, the world's best footballers in this team. We're more than capable of executing on any plan, to be honest. And it's reassuring to have a quality number nine up front that will... you know, make the most of the chances that we'll undoubtedly create. So I think it's a modification, as Stuart said, of what we're doing. I mean, we noticed Foden and Grealish were right on the touchlines for most of the game, actually. Grealish being far more effective. That probably speaks to the fact that he is more of a natural winger than Foden. I mean, there's a conversation there about Foden's best use. But highly, highly promising, like what we see. And it's only the first game of any season can be very unpredictable. I mean, we always remember the Spurs game that we had to suffer at the start of last season. You know, this was a very, very reassuring, and it looked like we've been playing together for a number of months, not a number of days and weeks. So, yeah, very happy so far.
We're all happy. On that, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we'll talk about Foden. We'll talk about Bernardo being benched. Grealish has been mentioned already, and a couple of substitutions along the way, and a pussycat might get a mention too. But we'll do all of that straight after this break. Welcome back. Spencer, just kick us off, will you? We've touched on this kind of inverted fullbacks. In fact, Pep, I think, picked out Walker in particular for special mention in his press conference today following the game. Your thoughts on that and the fact that, as Steve has said, you know, there's no point in putting City's lineup on the screen for people to look at because they play all over the place anyway. But it was clear to see that these two guys almost playing as midfielders yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, we saw it, of course, all through last season, didn't we, that Cancelo made that left back his own and really wreaked havoc. I think sort of Walker is sort of doing much more of that. Certainly that was on show in the game yesterday. And I mean, the realities are that City have so much possession. You know, it was, I think, 80-odd%, wasn't it, for yesterday, that our attacking qualities will far outweigh any defensive frailties. Walker's a good defensive player, Cancelo less so. But, you know, most of the time, that free roaming role we'll see as well. And there was acres of space yesterday, certainly on the left side with Cancelo linking up with Gundogan, with Grealish, and Walker on the right side with Foden. So I think we'll see more and more of that sort of free roaming role for those fullbacks. And from what we saw yesterday, very promising.
And I think it's right, Steve, isn't it? He's probably not going to deploy this tactic in every game, is he? I think it will depend on the opposition, but clearly worked against West Ham.
Yeah, I think he'll use it sparingly and definitely against a team that's not expecting us to play that way. And he'll play it when you don't want him to play it or when you do want him to play it. I guess he's got to keep the opposition guessing. And I think yesterday you could see at various points West Ham players were struggling to work out who they were supposed to be marking or who they were supposed to be closing down. And that was creating space for other players to play. And, you know, you pull them out of position and suddenly there's a bit of space for Grealish or a bit of space for Foden or De Bruyne. And, you know, for the goal, De Bruyne suddenly found himself in acres of space with plenty of time to take the pass and move the ball onto Haaland with perfection. So, yeah, I think it's not something we're going to do every week, but definitely there are games there where we can apply that tactic.
Stuart, can I start talking about Foden, who, as has already been pointed, did play as an out-and-out winger? It's certainly not my favourite position for him. I don't think he's as effective out there. How did you read it? How did you see it? Do you see him playing there a lot this season, or is Pep going to ring the changes?
I hope not. He's not a winger, really, is he? He likes to get involved in the side. I think he was a bit wasted out on the wing, to be fair. Not his fault. He was playing to a plan. But I think he's a much better player than an out-and-out winger, and he can cause absolute havoc in the box or elsewhere, you know, further back. I think it was a one-off, possibly, for him to be out there yesterday, but we'll see as the season progresses. I think he's wasted in that position, to be honest.
And particularly when you've got Mahrez on the bench, who is, if he wants to play two wide wingers, why doesn't he play two wide wingers, Spencer? What's that all about? What have I missed there?
Well, you could talk yourself into not having Foden in the team, couldn't you? It's a sort of an embarrassment of riches point, really, isn't it? Because he's very effective generally. Foden is such a quality player. He played brilliantly in the false nine position, which again is not his natural position. A lot for our games of last season. Why wasn't Mahrez out on the wing? Because I think he would have. I don't think Foden had his a great game, because I think he was really somewhat a prisoner of where he was sort of told to play from yesterday. But in Pep we trust. You know, it's one of these cliches, but it's a truism that Foden, I think, will predominantly be playing a lot of the games this season. It remains to be seen, perhaps, how he'll be best deployed. Don't know the answer.
You got a view on that, Steve? Where we might see Foden this year?
I prefer him more centrally in midfield, but you know, I guess the other thing he does give you there is he gives you a bit of pace and a bit of change of speed, and he is prepared to take players on around the outside, whereas actually Mahrez tends to step in and try to play with his left foot, being naturally a left-footed player. So I guess he gives you that ability to put a cross in from the right with the right foot, swinging into the right area of the box, and it could be that that's what Pep had actually seen the use for, and it might just take him a few games to adjust to it as well. But like we said, they won't play necessarily the same team, the same strategy every week, so I guess there's plenty of time for him to be in a more central role.
Stuart, can I just turn to a player who understandably will get a lot of column inches and a lot of chat on podcasts and so on, and that's Grealish, who maybe you could argue underperformed. Other people might argue first season playing in a new system, he's not the superstar he was at Aston Villa, give him a break. A lot on his shoulders. A lot of people were looking at him this year. Had a good game, would you say? Didn't do much wrong. Was quite effective out there on that wing.
I thought he had a great game yesterday. I thought his actual control. He got a lot of lovely balls passed out to him on the wing, and he took them down beautifully. You know, his first touch is great. I think he's got much more confidence. I think you'll see a new Grealish this season. He was a bit underwhelming last season, but so have a lot of new players in this superstar lineup. It takes a while to get used to your teammates. It takes a while to get used to Pep. I'm sure he's, you know, on at you for every minute of every training session if you're a new guy. But once you get into the rhythm of the way he wants you to play, I think Grealish has got all the talents needed to be an absolute superstar. And I really, really do. And I think the fact we've got the spotlights turned a little bit onto Haaland will help Grealish, because, you know, this 100 million tag will follow him around along all the time. But you've got other players there that they've got taken a bit of the spotlight away from Grealish. I think he'll do great this season.
Good game, Spencer. Impressed you yesterday?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. I mean, look, it's obvious. You know, Grealish is such a flair player. We know his talents, and we also know that he's now part of Man City and the Guardiola system. And it's obvious that he's under orders, if you want to put it that way. You know, we're possession based. We don't lose possession easily, and therefore, you know, 7 out of 10 times is checking back. So there's a little bit of a frustration when you see that, because you know that he's got so much bigger skill set there. But I think he does pick his moments. I think he had a good game yesterday. I think it was a big vote of confidence that he was in the team yesterday, and I think that's not accidental. And I think we'll see a lot more from him this season. I think actually non-City supporters say how disappointing he's been, but I think City supporters do have the patience with him, can see the progress, and we very much have the faith that he'll have a good season.
You have the faith, Steve?
Yeah, I do. He's coming along in leaps and bounds, actually. I think he's got a lot better. His positional sense is better. He's tracking back now and helping out the left back as well. Saw that quite a bit yesterday. And his delivery is getting better. He's not just going through exactly the same route every time now. You can see him moving his position, and you can see that he's doing what Pep wants him to. There was a little bit of coaching right at the start of the game where you could see Pep was actually having a word with Grealish, telling him what he wanted more out of him after that little flurry from West Ham at the start of the game. And after that, they seemed to quieten down. Grealish seemed to up his game, and I thought he was very instrumental in part of that team yesterday.
We talked, Steve, about this embarrassment of riches that we have, and to see Bernardo Silva, one of our superstars from last season, sort of coming off the bench. I mean, it's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, and I guess he was on the bench because he got most of the game last week, and Gundogan was quite rightly given most of the game this week. So I guess, you know, Pep's got to rotate those players there. I see Gundogan and Bernardo in a very similar vein, and they're very good at making the team tick and keeping up the right tempo that Pep actually wants, you know, slow, slow, quick, quick, slow type thing. And that tends to catch a lot of teams out. So they're both really, really good players. And I can't see how you can't have Foden and Bernardo and Grealish and Gundogan in the team all the time. They've got to accept the fact that there's going to be the odd game where they're on the bench until the 70th minute.
And that's a big part of Pep's job, isn't it, Spencer, as well, keeping these superstars happy, having to rotate them, understanding certain games they're going to be playing in, certain ones they're not. That's a huge skill that he seems up until now to have just got the balance absolutely right, hasn't he?
Yeah, he absolutely does. I mean, of course, we don't know over the rest of August what will happen. There was a sense that, I mean, Bernardo was understood to be unhappy and wanting to return back to Spain last season, wasn't there? And that fear still lingers because we would hate to lose him. But it could happen. And so I think that Pep is absolutely a genius man manager. But I do think that we will see more changes before August is out. And I fear that Bernardo could be one of them. I hope I'm wrong.
Do you think Bernardo's a potential risk to depart, Stuart?
Well, some noise is coming out of Barcelona the last couple of days saying that they are, you know, still hoping to sign him. I don't think Bernardo's worried about game time. I think it's possibly a family situation with him that he wants to go back. He wants to leave Manchester and try his luck somewhere else. I don't think it's because he's not being picked every week or playing every 90 minutes. It would be a big loss, a huge loss, and I'm a little bit scared that he might go, but hopefully he won't. Barcelona are bankrupt anyway. They can't really sign him until they offload a few other players, so let's hope they don't.
It's no secret that Fernandinho has been one of my favourite players. Those of you who listen to this show regularly, one of my favourite players over the last few seasons. And I'm just wondering whether Rodri is one of those players that kind of is one of those never mentioned really by the pundits very much, not mentioned often by other supporters of other teams, but actually the influence he has on a game. What a fantastic footballer. And he's just starting now to kind of move up and some of the... I thought he was fantastic at the weekend against West Ham. Stuart, your thoughts on Rodri? I'm not sure if you're nodding, falling asleep here, listening to me, or actually nodding in agreement. I'm not sure. I know it's way past your bedtime.
I'm nodding in agreement. I think he's come on leaps and bounds. I think he's so smooth on the ball. I think he's got so much time on the ball. That's always the measure of a great player. I think he will become a great, great player in that position. And I think he's, you know, he's upped his game 10% virtually every season. So I have no doubt that he'll take over that mantle from Fernandinho and he'll be a great, great player for City.
And is it that position, Steve, in a City team that's so important, or is he actually a great player just like Fernandinho was?
I think in that position, he sees an awful lot of the ball. And you have to have an awful lot of confidence in him, or Pep has to have an awful lot of confidence in him, as do his teammates, because he is the linchpin of that team. He's there to stop those fast counter-attacks from the opposing team, but he's also there to help distribute the ball out of defence. And he has a really good knack of being in the right place at the right time. I remember being at the Brighton game last year and being behind the goal. And at one point, Brighton were threatening the goal. I saw the ball coming goalwards, and suddenly out of nowhere, Rodri just seemed to appear in the air, about 6'5" in the air, jumped up, took the ball down and just hoofed it up the pitch. He just seems to be in the right place at the right time. I agree with you. I didn't think you could replace Fernandinho, but Rodri looks like a really good replacement for Fernandinho.
Spencer, quick word on Rodri, and I want to talk about someone who's clearly come to the end of his City career after his first half performance. You know, Kevin De Bruyne, clearly a poor player, autumn of his career, past it, needs to hang up his boots now. Oh, yeah, OK, decent pass for the goal, second goal, but what a poor first half. He's finished, isn't he?
Well, if you say so, Nigel, couldn't disagree more, can I say? I mean, Rodri first. I mean, he is absolutely outstanding. Remember, he was City's record buy until relatively recently. Absolutely superb in the role. And his distribution has got so much better. His ability to break things up and change the pace. In fact, for the second goal yesterday, I mean, it was him passing to Kevin De Bruyne, who had a very rare good pass for the goal. But Rodri is a mainstay of the team, and hopefully will be for years to come. And a good looking lad, if I may say so. So Rodri, that was Rodri. KDB, I mean, give poor KDB a break. He didn't sort of settle in immediately to the game yesterday, did he? But we'll see an awful lot of him during the season. And I must say, that pass for the Haaland goal, I mean, I watched that a number of times. There was so much flow of players moving. To see that pass and pick it out in that moment, absolutely world-class. We're keeping him as well.
Yeah, we're keeping him, obviously. Poor first half, looked past it, the game was passing him by. Not a great game, KDB.
I'm struggling with this one. No, look, he's one of the best players I've ever seen in a City shirt, to be fair. He's one of the few players that actually pushes the David Silva mantle, where you'd say that Silva was probably the best player. You'd say Colin Bell, you know. You've got a lot of these best players that have ever been in the City shirt now. De Bruyne is absolutely up there amongst them, and he is not showing any signs of slowing down. And he's definitely got a zest for it. I'm sure he wants to win a third title if he possibly can and get a European, you know, the Champions League. That's what he wants to do. And you can see that there's a hunger in his heart still. And that's the important thing. All the whilst we've got these players with a hunger in their heart, then they're going to do anything they can for City.
So from some of the old heads, let's talk about a couple of debutants. Stuart, I'll stick him in the same pot together. You can pick either one or the other, or both, up to you, my friend. But basically, we saw Calvin Phillips, and we saw, not for very long, and of course we saw Julian Alvarez, who scored in the pre-season friendly against Liverpool, of course, we know that. But this is a proper league game. And anything we can read into seeing those two? Any thoughts on those two?
Phillips, very difficult to gauge on a few minutes that we saw of him yesterday. Alvarez, I like a lot. As you say, he bundled one in at Leicester against Liverpool. I think it was Liverpool, wasn't it? Some team, anyway. But he's got great movement, I think. I think he'll be good. I think he'll really be a great player for us this season. And I think he might fit in as quicker than you think, because, you know, he's played for Argentina. He's got a lot of goals, admittedly, in a poor league. But I think he's got that another guy with a striker's thoughts. You know, he's got that sort of sixth sense, if you like, to know where the ball is. Great shot was going in, I think. But what's his name? Zuma got his head in the way of it, unfortunately for him.
Spencer, what about these two then? What did you see? I think we were obviously together at West Ham, standing together for the whole of the 90 minutes. I described him as reminding me a bit like Tevez. A lot of people have talked about Aguero, but for me, he's a bit more of a Tevez. I don't know how you see him.
You did say that. I mean, Tevez was sort of more of a bulldog type, wasn't he? Whereas this guy Alvarez looks more, I don't know, say gazelle-like, but he's a very, very elegant player on the ball. And we haven't seen enough of him, obviously, but he looks absolutely wonderful. And I do think, actually, we've got enough players, maybe up to half a dozen players here, who are approaching or at world-class level. And that's, I think we've stepped up even from the heights of the last few seasons. So it will be really interesting to see as the season progresses, will it be a sort of rotational thing, or will the cream genuinely rise to the top, and will Alvarez be one of those? Because clearly Haaland's going to play more than he doesn't play. And we'll see how Alvarez works out. But on early sightings, he looks an absolutely marvellous player.
Steve, your thoughts, particularly on Phillips? We've not said a lot about him. We haven't seen much of him. I think I said last week.
I haven't really seen much to make a really form an opinion on Phillips at the moment. But he is a Pep kind of player. He's got that tenaciousness. He's got the ability to make a pass. He's got the ability to take tactics on board. So I actually think he's a really good buy, actually, Phillips. I was surprised that Leeds let him go, to be honest with you. It was a big sort of rip out of their team, to be fair. And, you know, he's not necessarily going to play every single game for us, but certainly he'll never let you down when he does play.
We've mentioned Kurt Zouma briefly. I don't think we need to mention anymore, but the chant I thought was particularly good. It's doing the rounds on social media. If you haven't seen that, of course, it's That's How Your Cat Feels. Was a spontaneous response from the City fans as he was poleaxed by Alvarez's shot. We'll leave that where it is. Let's look forward. Let's look forward to the weekend. First home game of the season against Bournemouth. Looking forward to that very much. Spencer, kick us off on this one. Newly promoted, back in the Premier League, of course. Big task for them to come to the Etihad. City at home, full house. You can't see us slipping up on that one, can you?
Minimum of 3 points, Nigel. Come on. I mean, this has got to be a slam dunk, hasn't it? Bournemouth, you know, good team, competent team, but I think will be way too strong for them. And it'll be interesting to see again the team. You know, will there be, you know, multiple changes from the game against West Ham? Or will players like Cole Palmer get some game time? It'll be interesting to see, but I think he'll make four or five changes for the weekend, and I think we'll be far, far too strong for Bournemouth.
I mean, that's the question, isn't it, Stu, really? Where and you're quite right, we can't second-guess Pep, but there won't be a show unless we talk about it, as I said already. So your thoughts in terms of those changes then, Stu, where do you think he might... Spencer's mentioned Cole Palmer having a look. But what are your thoughts?
I like Palmer a lot, and he got a few minutes against West Ham. He could play Mahrez instead of Foden out on the wing. I don't know, Phillips might get a first start. He'll make a few changes, but I think we've won 11 out of 11 against Bournemouth, so I think we'll make it 12.
Thanks. Your thoughts, Steve, ahead of the Bournemouth game?
I think the one place where we are a bit short on players or depth at the moment, because we've got a few injuries, is in defence, actually. So I can see that it'll probably be Diaz and Ake again with Walker and Cancelo. But ahead of that, it could be perm anyone from seven or eight, to be honest with you. And all of them would do a pretty decent job. I guess Pep's got to look at the opposition and set it up for how he thinks that's going to be best to beat them. I seem to remember the last time I saw Bournemouth come to the Etihad, we won about 5-1, I think, and Sterling scored a hat-trick. I mean, I don't know what they're like thus far. I didn't see their game at the weekend, so I don't really have a strong opinion on them. But I think, like most newly promoted clubs, there's a bit of adjustment when you come back to the Premier League like that. So I can't see anything less than a 3 point for us.
And while we're on... this is only the second show of the season, and I asked my guests last week to think about the season ahead, and I made the point that for the first time in seasons, when I've asked City fans, not just on the podcast, but at games, in the street, wherever I meet them, which would you prefer, the Premier League or the Champions League? For the first time, I'm seeing quite a big shift, saying, look, we've done the Premier League now, and actually this is our year. We kind of do need to win the Champions League. So I'm interested to know where my three guests are this week on that particular question. So, Steve, you kick us off. If you have the choice, we could only win one. Which one's it going to be this season? Is it the Champions League or the Premier League?
Pushed, I'd say. I'd like to win the Premier League three times on the road. Would be nice.
But, all right. Yeah. Okay. Stuart, where are you?
Only 14th in history have won it three times in a row, and that's including the first division. So it's a hell of a long time. Champions League.
Spencer, what about you?
As last season, Nigel, Champions League all the way. We've got to win this thing. I'm still recovering from Porto. I'm sorry, everybody. We've got to land that Champions League, and that's the thing that's going to take us, hopefully, on a run to start to become one of these teams that are really recognised to be, you know, one of the greats.
Stuart, you want to come back?
And I leave the rest of the league with a very scary thought. Is that okay?
Of course, with pleasure.
Erling Haaland will be resting during the World Cup. Okay. Uh-huh. I didn't qualify.
Good point. Good point well made. Huge thanks to my three guests, to Stuart Brodkin, to Spencer Debson, and to Steve Cox. This is Nigel Rothman saying thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you all very soon.
If you want to advertise on or sponsor this show, check us out at playbackmedia.co.uk.
Sports Social Podcast Network.